What if I told you that the answer to some of your most pressing questions as a marketer or leader is a really good story? My name is Kelly Parker, and after spending over a decade bringing stories to life as a speaker, writer, and corporate marketer, I'm here to show you the easy way to create your own stories that connect, break through the clutter, and bring in cold, hard cash. Right here on Business Storytelling Made Easy. Hey, hey, this is episode 81 of the Business Storytelling Made Easy podcast. Super excited that you're joining me today. Today, I'm joined by David Kirkdorfer. David has 20 years of B2B, business-to-business, tech marketing experience. His marketing is focused on driving sales as he guides teams and activities toward new ways to increase market awareness and opportunity creation. David's experience lies within the B2B space, but his wisdom and insights apply across the board to anyone looking to attract and engage an audience ready to buy. David and I discuss how to engage storytelling tactics in order to increase sales. He offered some really practical techniques in terms of how to educate our buyers and help them learn so that when they're ready to buy, we are positioned as the correct vendor for them to go with. And so whatever industry you might be in, if you're looking to boost sales, create more sales opportunities, and create more awareness for your brand, I think you're going to find some really practical tips and tricks. So here's my chat with David. David, welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. How are you?
I am awesome. I'm awesome. Excited to have a chance to chat with you. For those of us that don't know you, let us know who you are and what you do.
Hi, so my name is David Kirkdorfer. I have been doing B2B technology marketing for over 20 years. I'm focused a lot with startups and scale-ups, though I've worked with a couple of publicly traded companies. And I've marketed to SMB accounts as well as large enterprises. Technologies that I've marketed have included cybersecurity, database technology, infrastructure technology, marketing technology, and I guess the area of marketing that I've mostly focused on has been in the demand creation, demand generation side, where I am, if you will, the last step in marketing for some organizations and the first step of sales. And I find I become connective tissue between the product team, the marketing, other marketing teams, if you will, sales, operations, and I'm creating dashboards and programs designed to create more opportunities for sales reps. So that's me in a nutshell, I guess.
That's amazing. And you are the type of guy that wears a lot of hats, because you just went through all your experience. And right now you are actually wearing your marketing hat. So
I am wearing my marketing hat right now. I figured let's go there.
Yeah. Love it. Well, I think one of the strings that runs through it all is the desire that we all have to attract buyers or folks that are interested, that want to take action and be advocates for our organization. And anyone who's tried to attract buyers knows that you need to kind of get in their head. You need to understand maybe what their concerns are or their questions are. So from your experience, what would you say are the most common questions that buyers across the board tend to have?
Okay, so I would say this is a great question. Thank you. There are four basic questions that buyers of anything essentially have. And I think we go through these same four questions, though at different levels and speeds, when we're thinking of buying a holiday with our partner. For myself over here, a guitar amplifier, little one I have on the desk here, or B2B tech. And I get this idea from Brent Adamson. It's incepted my mind. The first question I think that we all ask is, am I looking at the right category of solution to meet my situation? So if we were to take the example of a holiday, let's imagine it's September, right? Depending on when you plan your winter vacation with your significant other or family, if you're able to take such a thing, I might ask my wife, for example, sweetheart, would you like to go on a kind of wintry, snowy, drinking hot chocolate by the fire type of, you know, cozy, snowbound type of winter vacation? Or would you prefer to go to the beach? Two different categories. each equally interesting in different ways, right? So the first question you ask is, am I looking at the right category of solution? If you're a marketing CMO, you might very legitimately ask, knowing that there's over 11,000 different MarTech solutions out there, are we even looking at the right category of solution to fit our situation? Quickly following that, there's a second question. Well, within this category, am I looking at a contender vendor? Am I looking at the right vendor for me? And so within my holiday example, let's say my wife says, well, David, you know, we live in Boston. Do we need more snow in our lives? Let's go south. Let's go to the sun, because I know my wife loves going to the beach. And who doesn't, of course? So all of a sudden, within my beach type of holidays, I might say, well, okay, well, there's the Mexican, you know, Riviera, or there's the Caribbean islands. Do I want a French kind of experience? Let's go to Saint Martin. If I want a more American experience, perhaps I go to pick the US Virgin Islands or something. So I start to kind of narrow down within the category. Just because one of these vendors is in the tippy-top corner of leadership doesn't mean that they're the right vendor for you and your context and your situation and your organization, which leads to the third question. And the third question is, gosh, as I'm looking at these things, would I be successful, says the buyer, would the buyer, I, be successful onboarding, integrating, implementing, rolling out, deploying this solution with my people, my processes as we have them today, and our existing technology? It's about the buyer's confidence in their ability to do this. It's not about the quality of the product. Interesting, right? The fourth question we ask is, then gosh, would I, the buyer, be successful getting economic value from this purchase? Many times these purchases are disruptive. You're taking something out. You're replacing it with something, or you're inserting something into an existing process. And so there's some disruption that comes from it. And you accept that to a degree, because you know at the back end, you've got an economic benefit of some type, or there's perhaps a compliance benefit. There could be many types of benefits. Perhaps it's a reducing your costs of process type of benefit. Perhaps it makes it easier for you to get new customers, and so increases your ability to increase your revenue type of benefit. But you're looking for, will I be successful getting a benefit? How long does it take to get this benefit? How much of the benefit am I likely to get? So that you can say, yes, I'm going to be a beneficiary after this purchase. So those are four questions that I think everyone is asking, and not explicitly. They may not realize in their mind that's what they're doing. But that's four ways to break down the information that buyers are looking for.
So insightful. So yeah, I think you're really underscoring how it's kind of our job to help folks learn the answers to that from us quickly, so that they can decide whether or not, you know, we're a good match for their needs. And then of course we know, you know, your website is a great way to hopefully help people screen themselves out or understand or learn, you know, if this is a good match. And we know that often stories are a good way to help folks learn. But when you think about websites, what are some kind of mistakes you see companies making that make buyers have to work to understand and to learn the value proposition?
Right. It's a good question. I mean, it's a challenging question that we all have, right? Those of us who are in marketing roles with websites. So if we accept that those are four basic questions that buyers have, then there's going to be certain information that they're going to be looking for that would help them answer those questions. So that is a whole other thing to unpack. What would the information be? But the challenge a buyer has is that many times a website suffers from two kind of main flaws, especially in business-to-business technology websites, and especially for startups. One, the website often talks more about the tech and the company and the vendor than it does about the prospect or the customer or the potential buyer and their story, right? So if I go to a website and I feel as if I'm I don't quite understand what they do. I've never purchased this thing before. And I'm trying to figure out, does it fit my situation? Does it fit? Right? Because I can't figure out, do I really need an AI something something to help me do the something something, when nowadays all I'm using is spreadsheets? I might go, gosh, you know, AI sounds really clever, but I don't know that we're ready for that. We're still using spreadsheets for X and Y process, right? And there, so the one aspect is, does the website seem to tell my story? Can I see my story in the website? What I often see is their story. How we founded ourselves, you know, the leadership, you know, all of this is like, that can be interesting. But first, I do want to know that perhaps, right? But I really, I'm much more kind of, you know, egotistical. What about me? Right? Tell me my story. The other thing that often happens on a website is there is a lot of resource information available that could actually answer these four questions for me. And it's somewhat a mystery to find it. We often will go to a website and we'll see a resources pull down menu. And in the menu items of the resources pull down menu, we can see webinars or webcasts, podcasts, blogs, white papers, case studies. And that's interesting, because what we've done is we've categorized the tech, the information we're sharing by media type, or perhaps by the group who created it, but not by a particular interest that the buyer might have. So what do I do? Well, I'll go into whichever thing I think can get me there fastest. Maybe I'll look at white papers and I'll scan through the titles of the white papers, looking for titles of white papers. And perhaps I'll get as far as reading little blurb abstracts about the white papers that kind of reveals what's inside this white paper. Does it help answer a question that I have? And these are my questions rather than what you want to tell me. So what if we reorganized our content, not by media type, but by basic levels of interest that people have and what their interests are? So why is this category interesting or not? Help me figure out that this is not the right category. Why is my, you know, this company, why should you be looking at us, right, in your situation? Give me different ways of calculating how return might be measured, and give me the ability to play with some dials to kind of get a sense of things. Because if I can get the answers to these questions, I self-select. I say, okay, no, this doesn't look like it's a good fit for me. And I go on my merry way. And it does look like a good fit for me. I ask to be contacted. And any salesperson, of course, much prefers to speak to someone who has said, hey, hi, would you give me a call, please? Versus the alternative of cold calling and trying to nurture your way into relevancy. Because those people who self-select turn into sales opportunities more often, move through sales pipelines more quickly, and turn into customers at higher win rates. And if they've done a good job of their purchase process and kind of matching fit to solution, they don't churn so much at the back end. So the more the buyer can be educated about things before they reveal themselves, and by the way, they are not revealing themselves to you anymore, right? Until they want to have the conversation, because they're so overwhelmed with choices and overwhelmed with people coming to them, they just turned it all off. So when they're ready to talk to you, they know how to find you. You've got buttons all over the website to tell you. So those are some thoughts about making available the information that you have in a way that's structured so that it's easy to focus on the questions that buyers have. It's being buyer empathetic, right? Imagine you're going to buy something. Did you want to listen to four podcasts to try and figure out if the answer you're looking for is somewhere in there? Did you want to go through all these webcasts? Maybe just labeling the abstracts so that they can be searched and you have a search capability could be very helpful. Maybe there's some kind of coding you could provide or something that helps indicate this helps answer these questions or those questions.
Yeah, really interesting. we create content with the goal of, you know, educating and hopefully helping people learn. And we're crossing our fingers that if I educate you enough, I'll get you to the point where you'll make a decision and you'll want to contact me. You'll want to reach out. So, but what is your perspective on that? Is it just a matter of churning out enough stuff to educate people that they will eventually seek us out? Like, how do we bridge the gap between, you know, helping people learn and educating them to getting to the actual decision that they want to choose us and they want to move forward?
So, it's, you know, the $64 billion question, right? So one way to think of this is not everyone is ready to buy, but some people are. So perhaps we want to consider our, breaking our marketing activities into two types, that which is seeking to skim from the top the people who are ready to buy now and to have certain activities and programs and demand capture activities focused for them. And then other folks are not yet ready, but they could become ready, right? They're large projects in large companies. A lot of times projects are scheduled a year or two in advance before they're being done. So there's a learning opportunity. There's a kind of an education opportunity, an inspiration kind of opportunity. Did you know you could do this? Oh, didn't even know I could do that, right? That you might. So breaking things into capturing versus creating demand, right? If wearing my marketing hat, my demand gen hat. And what we're trying to do essentially in the create demand activities is to educate, inform, inspire our buyers so that when they do move into market, we are in consideration. We have shown our credibility in a particular area, particular expertise, a particular type of solution spot, industry challenge, and so on. And credibility is important. The point of credibility is, and I'll just kind of take a side note here, is many times we see people write about trust. We want to get customers' trust. It's like, well, yes, we do. But I don't think you get anyone's trust until you've actually done something and had to deliver something to someone. And then you have proven to be trustworthy, right? Up until then, I would suggest maybe a better word to use is credibility. Are we earning credibility? Credibility because we seem to be speaking about things in the way that the customer also views things, right? Their vision, their story of what the problem is, their story of how it could be solved. Are we helping provide valuable information towards that that helps them say, yeah, actually, that is how I see things, or that is something that I'm recognizing going on around me. So if I can, if you will, describe their problem better than they can, I get some credibility points. Gosh, you guys seem to really know what this is.
Awesome. Well, this has been great to chat, but let us know where we can connect with you online and, you know, benefit from your services and more of your expertise.
Sure. Well, this has been super fun. I hope it's been helpful to the folks who are listening, perhaps watching as well. If you want a hat, just let me know. I am most present on LinkedIn. So as the only David Kirkdorfer on the planet that I'm aware of, you can find me on LinkedIn easiest. That's probably the best way to connect with me. And through my LinkedIn about section, there's a link if you'd like to have a further chat. So you can kind of schedule some time if that's, you know, at all interesting.
Awesome. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you. This has been fun.
Thanks so much for listening to Business Storytelling Made Easy. Are you a forward-thinking corporate leader looking to leverage the power of story to grow profits, boost awareness, and maximize impact? My agency would love to serve you. We offer workshops and consulting services that teach brands how to define and communicate their brand story. Let's connect. You can find me today on LinkedIn at Kelly D. Parker or online at kellydparker.com. Bye.